Appreciate you guys being here today. I do. It's good to have all you guys here, so I hope you've had a decent week. Or even if you haven't, you're here now, so it's going to be good. Let me ask you a question. Is there a difference between margarine and country crock, or I can't believe it's not butter, versus real butter? Is there a difference between those? There is. A huge difference? Like on a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next thing. Chocolate-covered cherries from Stouffer's, made by Stouffer's, versus chocolate-covered cherries made by See's Candy. Is there a difference? There is? Okay, I don't like chocolate-covered cherries. I put that in there. Is there a difference between Velveeta cheese and Tillamook cheese? Yes, okay, thank you. Amen. I guess. Kirkland peanut butter cups versus Reese's peanut butter cups. Yes, there's a difference. There's a difference. All right, I need someone to give me a hand here to see if there's a difference between these next two items that I have. Anyone like to come up and help me out? What's that? It's not chocolate. Not. Okay, one, two. All right, come on up. Come on up. Okay. Hey. Wait a minute.
What?
Just a minute. Have you been up here already? Have you been up here yet?
Oh, I was singing.
You know what? Eric, in the kitchen in there, there is a plastic baggie. Can you see if it's still there? Otherwise, someone is in big trouble today. Okay? In serious trouble. It could be one of you two.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there
a plastic bag on that counter in there? If you're listening online, there is something serious that's going on. Thank you, Eric. All right, bring that on up here. I'll come get it from you, Eric. How about we meet in the middle? Hey, Eric, you do our media and stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. Did you guys know Eric takes care of all the things back there? Okay. Sorry. In this bag I have, they're called like Bacos or bacon bits. I want you to take a handful and just try them. Maybe not like a huge handful, just a little bit. A pinch. There you go. Chew them up. Tell me how it tastes. How does it taste? How would you describe that? Like bacon, but crunchy. Okay. Brandon?
Extremely salty.
I don't think you can have too much salt, can you? All right. Now I want you to try this, a piece of bacon that was made just this morning. Cool. And you tell me, which is better, the bacon bits or the bacon? What's that? Pastor Bill made it. Pastor Bill made it. So how does that taste? Which is better? That one's better? Why? It's just better? It's softer and it still has a lot of salt? It doesn't have that much salt. Okay. Tastes like it has more flavor. Anything you'd add, Brandon? No? You're just eating. All right. Give these guys a hand. Grab a seat. Yeah. Does anybody else want these Bacos while we're eating? While we're teaching? I'm not going to give them to you now anyways because then I'd hear crunching the whole time while I'm talking. Wouldn't that be funny? Hey, you got to have the real thing some days. Authentic is better than fake, right? Or generic, I guess you could say. You got to have the real thing in certain times of life. Now, let me switch gears. Is there a real faith versus an authentic faith? Or rather, a counterfeit faith? Is there a difference between the two? All right. Well, let me read you a passage because I believe there is. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What does that mean? It means some have an authentic faith which seeks to please the Lord, while some ultimately have a faith that seeks to please themselves. There is a real faith and there is a generic faith. a faith that seeks to please ourselves. This morning, I'd like to offer you a recipe for authentic faith. Not that I'm much of a cook, but I understand the Bible sometimes, so I'll take a recipe from the Word, I guess. But a recipe for authentic faith. And please understand, as I talk about this recipe for authentic faith, it's not because I have it all together. It's not because I do all of these things. I would love to share with you today that I always put God's will before my own, but I don't. You can check with my wife and my kids on that one, and they'll probably tell you, a lot of days he doesn't. Depending on how what went on the night before, I guess. They'll tell you otherwise. But it doesn't mean I don't have the authority to talk from God's word about it. Just like you, we have the ability to look at God's word and see what God does require of us versus what quite hasn't been filled in our life. And the reason why is because church is not a place for the habit altogethers. It's not. We walk into church and it's not a place where you show up when things are all correct. Because if that was the case, none of us could walk into this place. We'd have to close down the doors of the church, matter of fact, because no one is right. No one has it all together. Sorry to burst your bubble if you were like, doggone it, Ben, I was having a good morning. You can still have a good morning because the church really is a place filled with grace-filled people seeking to honor the Lord with their lives. So that being said, let's hop right into the recipe for authentic faith. The first one is this, the Bible, and it may seem like a no-brainer, but it's not a no-brainer. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Authentic means genuine or trustworthy, and that's the Bible. It's genuine. It's trustworthy. It's one of those things when you open up and you read it, it's true. It's not just make-believe stuff. It's not like, well, that's a cool bedtime story. It's more than that. It's genuine. It's trustworthy. And it's useful for teaching us what God cares about and what God desires for us. But most importantly, it teaches us about who God is. And that's an important thing. Because when we understand who God is, our life becomes more authentic. And the reason being is because we understand and we believe that God is a God worth knowing. And when I believe that God is worth knowing, then the people I come around or who are around me are going to hear about that. Not in the fact, like, you need to believe in God, and I'm smacking around with it. But it's, you need to believe in this God that I know because he loves me and he forgives me and he brings hope. And I want you to know about them. The Bible's sort of like, I guess the Bible's sort of like butter, real butter when you think about it. Remember I said, is there a difference between margarine or butter? There is, and I found a real scientific way to figure out the difference between them. And you do it with popcorn, microwave popcorn. I used to eat microwave popcorn a lot when I was younger. And I'd pop it in the microwave, and of course it would never have enough butter. So you need more butter. So I used to, you know, cut the margarine right in half, the stick, and put it in the microwave, and you melt it. But when you pour margarine over the popcorn, you know what happens to the popcorn? It, like, shrivels up and gets all gross looking. I ate it, but it was still kind of gross looking. Now, my wife, she has to have real butter. I don't know when did that start, babe? Some time ago. She had to have real butter, so I'm like, okay, real butter. You know what happens when you pour real butter on the popcorn? It doesn't shrivel up. It's happy. What it does, it enhances the flavor of the popcorn to the delight of my taste buds, right? Now, the Bible enhances the relationship and the faith that you have in God. That's what it does. So if the Bible is like butter, then what would be like margarine in our life? And this is where it's sometimes you can step on toes. But the margarine in our life sometimes becomes the devotions. We are good at finding devotions. We have things even here at this church. What do you guys have for devotions that we have on the tables out here? The daily breads. And sometimes people will say, where are the daily breads? I got to have them. And while daily breads and devotions are good, they're not the means to the end, right? That's not what we're supposed to be pursuing. What we're truly supposed to be pursuing is daily time with God in the Word. And you may say, but Ben, I've been reading those all my life. A day in the daily bread keeps the devil away, right? Maybe. But the goal is to be in God's Word every day. It's supposed to be kind of the introduction for our spiritual life. Hebrews 6:1 says this, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You may read that and think it seems odd when it says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ, because what do we always say the answer is? Jesus. It's always about Jesus, and He's the most important thing in our life. What it means is you understand what Jesus has accomplished in your life. You are secure in your standing before God because of Jesus. Therefore, you can begin to understand some of the more in-depth things of the Word. The end times, perhaps, or understanding the armor of God or the fruits of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit enacts with our free will and vice versa. You can begin to understand all of those. Not simply relearning the basic things that we keep forgetting. Immerse yourself in the Bible. And how do you do that? By reading with the mindset of, what can I learn about God through this? Not, what do I need to apply to my life? What do I need to learn? Reading the Bible so I can have ammunition to talk to other people, or so I can blast my spouse away when they're not doing something right, or so I can discipline my children. Read the Bible so that you understand who God is. That's the first reason why we need to read it, so that you have a greater concept of God in your life. Okay, that's the first ingredient. You guys okay? All right. Number two, prayer. Prayer. And this is a weird one. When it comes to prayer and praying, and I'm talking about praying in groups now, or praying with other people, we can go to different prayer things, and there's always what before you start praying. There's a time of taking and collecting and gathering. The request. And the prayer request time is sort of like this. You know, everyone starts sharing, oh, pray for my aunt's knee, pray for my uncle's back, pray for my hamster's toenail, and pray for all these different things. And people are, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, one time I had a back injury and this happened, and there's rabbit trails we go down, and people sometimes even cut others off. And sometimes even in prayer request time, there can be gossip. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. You need to pray for that person's problem. And then it gets time to pray, and everyone says, okay, let's bow our heads, and let's close our eyes, and let's pray. And all that talking and chitter-chatter ceases. And you know what doesn't start? You get like the one person, Jesus, thank you. And it's quiet. And it's like, why is it so quiet? Why? Why is it so difficult to pray? It could be a number of things. It could be we're afraid people might judge us in our prayers, or we're not sure how to pray at times. What if I mess up during my prayer? What if I do it wrong? You know what? There are times when I'm praying up here, just like you probably when you're praying anywhere, and I'll start praying something, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh my gosh, what was I just praying about? Or I was thinking something and now it's gone. And now I have to change direction. It happens when you pray. It's not always a normal thing. You didn't instantly start praying when you were born. Did you know that? It's something that's learned. And so you're going to mess up. You're going to do things wrong. But prayer is dialogue with the God of the universe. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of. It's a holy thing. I mean, it's set apart, but it doesn't mean it's meant for special people. Remember I said, is there a difference between Tillamook and Velveeta? My sisters used to give us a hard time because we bought Tillamook cheese. Because once I tried it, I was like, I like this cheese better than the other cheese. And they said, well, you have Tillamook cheese. Kind of giving us that, I guess, whatever that is. I don't know. And so it's not like that when it comes to prayer. Prayer is not for the righteous only. Prayer is for the peasant and the prince, the rich and the poor, the have-it-all-togethers and the fallen-aparters. It's for everyone, prayer is. It's dialogue with God, and it exudes authentic faith. There are people in my life who I long to pray with some days, because when I prayed with them, it seemed as if I was standing before God and they were talking to their dad. And we closed that prayer time, and I was like, wow, that was pretty great. And the reason why is because they have a correct heart's posture when it comes to spending time with God, to communicating to Him. It's with humility, it's with genuineness, it's with honor, it's with gratefulness that we pray, that we dialogue with God. We are having a conversation with someone who has no business talking to us, yet at the same time, He desires to talk with us. And at the same time, we keep finding ourselves talking to Him. Do you understand? It's an amazing conversation that takes place. That's one of the ingredients to authentic faith. Third ingredient to authentic faith, and I know I skipped one, Mike, I apologize for that, is worship. Mike's back there on our media. Thank you, Mike Strong. Appreciate it. Appreciate that. You got half a clap from half the audience, so I guess you're only doing half a good a job. Just kidding. Let me read a short passage from Revelation chapter 4, and then I'm going to comment on this. When you study what worship is for our Christian life, people will often give Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 5. But when I read chapter 4, it's strange. So carry on with me. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The term worship means to ascribe worth to God. And people say when you read that passage of Scripture, it should teach us to worship Him. And when I read that passage, I don't automatically worship Him. I kind of think that's really a strange passage. Why is it in there? Why are they talking about all these strange creatures worshiping God? Because it doesn't make sense to me at all. And as I study more about it, and as I read it more and more, what begins to make sense to me is really the breath of God's wonder. There is no creature, no celestial being, no human that can bring adequate praise to a perfect God. We cannot. And the reason being is because we are not perfect. And so, in essence, what's taking place in Revelation chapter 4, and as you read the rest of chapter 4 and chapter 5, when they bring praise to God and to the slain lamb being Jesus Christ, what they're doing is they're bringing their everything to Him. They're bringing their all. And when we worship God, we bring our everything to Him. Not just our Sundays, not just our Wednesdays, not just some of us, but all of us. Every part of us. Every part of our life, everything we own, everything belongs to Him. How do we worship Him with everything? Because that's the question, right? Okay, Ben, that sounds nice, worship Him with everything. But what does that mean? It means we understand He is God and we are not. Do you believe that God is God of your life? Does your life prove that? We like the idea of Jesus being our Savior sometimes, but we don't like the idea of God being God of our life some days. He's God of everything. And sometimes we need to relinquish the right of our life to Him. Worship is not just saying nice things about God. Worship is the recognition of who God already is, not who we want Him to be. And I'm going to go to the last one again, Mike. Last ingredient to authentic faith is sharing. Sharing with people about who Jesus is. How many times have you guys shared what Jesus has accomplished for you? Meaning something like this, and I'll try to go faster this service. There's a God who created everything. There's a God who created all that we see. He created Adam and Eve. In creating Adam and Eve, He gave them the ability to love Him, to love God. But Adam and Eve did not want to love God. They wanted them to love themselves, which in essence is when sin entered the world. They sinned against God. And because of that sin, they were unable to have a relationship with God because God's perfect and they were no longer perfect. But God in His great love sent His Son Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect life. And in living that perfect life, He received death. Death on a cross. I'm going to sneeze perhaps, so if I do in the middle of talking, just go with it, okay? And in sending Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect life, He then died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And the reason that took place was by the will of God, so that when you believe in Jesus being the cure for our sin, the payment for our sin, it gives us the ability to have a relationship with God like we were supposed to have from the beginning. And it gives eternal life. When it comes to sharing, at some point we need to share something like that with people eventually. I talked about, is there a difference between Kirkland peanut butter cups and Reese's peanut butter cups? There is a great difference between them. One tastes great and one doesn't. I mean, is there a more eloquent way to say that? One's really good, one's really not. There's a difference. And when it comes to sharing our faith, there is a difference between actually sharing with someone about who Jesus is and what He accomplished for them versus talking about sharing Christ with someone. It's difficult, don't get me wrong. It's uncomfortable, don't get me wrong, to tell someone about who Jesus is. But there comes a point to where with your words in your mouth, you actually have to say something to someone. Jesus saved my life because I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and He loves you. And I know your life seems like it's falling apart right now, and I wish I had everything. I wish I knew exactly what to say to make it better, but I don't. All I do know is that Jesus offers life and offers it abundantly. It starts with understanding that. At some point, we must communicate that. Others will say, but Ben, the way I live communicates to other that Jesus loves them. Yes, it does. It does, I know that. You serving others, you opening doors for other people, you being kind and smiling to other people, you helping people across the street and mowing people's lawns helps people. Yes, I know. But at some point, you got to share with someone, Jesus loves you and He died for you. And without accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no way into heaven. It needs to come out of your mouth one day. Is that bad to say? Yeah, you all kind of look at me like, are you done yet? I'm not done. I got a few more minutes, matter of fact. Sometimes people will say, well, Ben, my life communicates it. We sing the song, My Life Song Sings to You. My life song doesn't sing all those things. If yours does, then bless you. Okay, you are such a saint. My life song usually sings, I'm a screwed up guy, and I really need Jesus in my life. And so that's why some days I have to communicate to people, Jesus loves me. He really does. And it's only because of Him in my life that there's anything good in me at all. Really. And we have to communicate with people. They need to see authentic. The ingredients to authentic faith, the recipe for authentic faith. You know, I just mentioned it's the Bible, it's prayer, it's worship, it's sharing. It can be a number of things. But it comes down to just that authentic faith being, I am only the way I am because my God is greater than me. That's the recipe for authentic faith. And therefore, it's the things of the Lord that prove to someone that we are authentic. And when people see that, they long for it. And they want it. And they desire it. But it only happens by immersing yourselves in the things of the Lord. It can be some of the things we just mentioned. It can be other things as giving of yourselves, of your time, of your money, being involved in church where you're serving, serving others outside of church, being involved in mission. There's a lot of ingredients to this recipe, but it really, when you really get down to it, it comes to the things of the Lord because it proves authentic. It proves that God is greater. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to actually sing that, the fact that our God is greater, and then we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you are greater than us. Thank you that you're greater than our sin and that you have the ability to forgive us. Thank you that you sent Jesus, because without him, Lord, our lives would be wrecked. I pray that as we walk out of here today, we'd be different than when we were when we walked in, because we interacted with you and your Spirit is prompting us to think through things, to study things, to speak with people. Lord, don't let us quench the Spirit. But Lord, let us respond to the Spirit with joy, with anticipation of what you might do in our life. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for saving me. Thank you for being God of my life. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.